Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Let's dive in. I am your host, Ryan Laudermilk. I've been at Microsoft for over a decade. My most recent focus is OKR methodologies and OKR software. I am joined by none other than Spencer Paisley. He's back. He's also at Microsoft. He also focuses on OKRs. Welcome back, Spencer.
Thanks. Great to be here, as always.
All right. Let's dive right in. I wanted to talk, you and I were kind of talking offline, and I said, you know what, I think it'd be interesting to make a pod on folks that are getting started with OKRs. They're thinking about maybe they should do OKRs. In fact, right now I'm working on an implementation of a pretty sizable company, and they're in the embryonic stages of it as well. They've made the decision. Yes, OKRs are the answer. But let's kind of talk a little bit about this. When folks are maybe in the embryonic stages of thinking about OKRs, what are some things that you hear? What are some things that people are thinking? Let's give some folks some answers to some questions they might have.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the first thing that comes to mind for me really gets down to the why are they even considering using OKRs in the first place, which I can't answer for absolutely everybody. But the thing that I remind folks is that, especially if you're at a larger business, that's going to be different for a lot of different teams, especially here at Microsoft. The way that folks have chosen to use OKRs, or whether or not they've even chosen to do it in the first place, is different for almost every single team. And so that's one thing that people really got to understand first, is that the why for people is going to be completely different, right? Maybe we don't write goals at all, and we just need a way to actually put things on paper and hold ourselves accountable. Mm-hmm. Whereas for other teams, it might be more focused around, hey, we don't know if we're making or creating the right goals for us. Can we be much more intentional around what we want our OKRs to actually be and make sure that we're focused on the right things? So that's the first thing I'd mention, is that the why is going to be different for everybody, and you've got to understand that. And then additionally, I think building inspiration is really important, because it, much in the same way that the why is going to be different for everybody, not everybody's going to want to do this.
Yeah.
Right. And so especially if you're looking to go organization-wide, it's definitely something that needs to inspire people towards taking on something new, rather than a mandate. I mean, I've seen, especially across both inside Microsoft and out, we very, very rarely are seeing like an OKR mandate. It's far more so, you know, sort of the organic grassroots folks wanting to do it and then seeing their colleagues have some success and move outward from there.
I love it. I love starting with the why. You really do need to sit down and kind of either write this out or kind of figure out exactly why are you doing this. And it turns out, by the way, that if you endeavor to go and do OKRs, that will be the number one question people are asking that are basically inheriting the OKRs. Is like, why are we doing this? Why do we need this? You know, I think for the organizations that I've worked with, a couple of the whys I try to give them, and this is primarily the reason why the organization that I'm in, which is a pretty sizable organization, decided to do OKRs. Number one and number two reasons. Number one reason was we wanted to do it for every person in our organization, and primarily for two reasons. So we wanted to do it because we wanted them to know what they should be working on when they come in every day. Now, I know that sounds a little micromanagey, but it's like there's a slew of things that you could do at Microsoft. I mean, you know this now. You've been here for a while. It's like, my goodness, you could spend your time in a myriad of different ways because there's so much opportunity everywhere you look, left or right. But the one thing we wanted to achieve with the OKRs was that every morning when a person in our organization comes in, they know exactly what they should work on. And the second one I would give you is that they know it matters. Those were the two big reasons for us doing OKRs, is we wanted folks that worked in our organization to be able to come in, know what they're working on, and know that it matters. Because you can see the way that OKRs are structured, things begin to come into focus, things begin to get aligned, and you can see, oh, I can see myself all the way up to the CVP, or I can see myself all the way to the CEO. Yeah, I might be taking a smaller bite from that apple, but I'm still, you know, biting from the same apple. We're all focused. We're all aligned. That's what I think. It's ideally you're doing it for your folks, and it's a loving and thoughtful thing to do, to say, hey, the leadership team has spent enough time to say that there's a lot of things we could do. here are the things we need to focus on the most, and then here's how you can make an impact in that.
You know, I completely agree. And especially on that first point, another thing that I'll add to that, that I really think folks should consider when they're embarking on this journey is, especially when it comes to individual contributors and some of your sort of like frontline managers in your organization, one of the benefits that I don't think can really be overstated is giving people the autonomy to make decisions around what is most important for the organization. And what I mean by that is when you can very clearly answer the question of what exactly is it are we trying to do here and what outcomes are we trying to create, you can then look at your own work. And when there's a question to say, hey, should I be doing this? Should I not be doing this? Should I be putting more emphasis here? Should I be putting more emphasis there? It makes it much easier to answer those questions. I know for me, at least, it makes it a lot easier where I'm not now having to go to my manager and they're going to their manager. And we're sort of, you know, trying to unwind this. It's just very clear around here's what the outcome is. I'm empowered to make a decision that is going to get us as close to that outcome as humanly possible. And I don't have to waste time spinning my wheels doing so. I can move faster and really make it happen.
I love that. I love the idea of saying yes to less and saying no to more. You know, I share that often and folks are like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I was like, no, you give this a few 12-week cycles. You give this a few OKR cycles and it's things start to come sharply into focus. People start to get more focused. They start to get more aligned. And that is one of the reasons, another reason why a team might endeavor to do OKRs. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that they've decided to get started. They say, hey, OKRs are for us. And by the way, you know, I try to help folks make this decision. I say, listen, in the end, and this is probably going to get me in trouble with whoever makes the product around here at Microsoft. But I try to tell them in the end, all we're doing is writing down our goals, how we're going to achieve them, and then tracking our progress. Like, I don't mean to make this like sort of anticlimactic, but you know what I mean? In the end, it's like, and if you look at any elite athlete, any company that's thriving, you get into there and you realize, yeah, they've written down some goals. They're how they're going to achieve the goals. And then they're tracking their progress on a weekly basis. Like a lot of this stuff, I don't want to say it's boring, but in the end, it's very sort of straightforward. That doesn't mean it's not potent and not powerful. But I really do try to say, hey, you've decided to do this. It's not like we've gone crazy and decided to do something absolutely bananas. Like all we're going to do is write down our goals, how we're going to achieve them and track our progress. Now, once folks have said, okay, OKRs are for us. Great. They're looking literally at a blank piece of paper, a blank screen. I mean, what can teams do? What can organizations do to get started? Let's help them a little bit there.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the first thing I think that needs to happen is they just need to get their mindset right and understand they have done this before, right? In one way, shape, or form. And I think that echoes the point you're making there that, you know, at the end of the day, we're writing goals down, we're making sure that they're measurable, and then we're thinking about how exactly we're going to make it happen. And, you know, I was just thinking about, as you made your comment around, you know, a lot of famous athletes, a lot of the success stories are very similar. They just say, I made a goal and I put the work in and I made it become a reality, right? It's not, it's not rocket science, as they say. And so that's the thing that I'd really encourage folks to understand is that just get in the mindset of I can do this and I will make it happen, and not to worry about whether or not folks have the perfect key result or whether or not they have their initiatives aligned correctly or anything like that. I really, really just encourage folks to get started, because the biggest problem area that I see, especially with many of the customers that I've worked with over the past couple of years, is just a hesitancy to try it and fail and learn from their mistakes. A lot of them want to spend months and months and months thinking through exactly how it is this is going to work in their business without ever actually trying it. And so, as it relates to that, give it a shot, but really also shorten the time frame. Like, that's a note that I have here. You mentioned 12 weeks earlier. I completely agree. More often than not, when folks come in and start using OKRs, especially at like a large enterprise level, they go, well, you know, we're going to start out with like maybe a year first, right? And I think about it and go, okay, well, if they're for a year from now, I can almost guarantee you're going to forget about them like you've been doing before. And you're also not going to get the reps in order to make them better, right? Think about it. In a year, if you're doing them, if you're creating them once a year, you've had one opportunity to set your goals, right? If you're doing a 12-week time frame, you've got roughly four, maybe a little extra if we're doing the division here, times to learn from your goals, learn from the key results specifically that you've set, and then adjust from there. And so I really, really encourage folks to shorten that time frame up to about that three month mark, and go with that and just try it. Because the folks, you have to put in the work in order to get better. And if you're not putting it in, it's you're not going to see the reward come back out the other side.
I love it. I love where you're going on this one, where, you've decided to do it. You've answered the why. And then now we're getting into the right mindset, right? And it's saying, okay, we're going to do this. I say to my teams often, we will not let perfect get in the way of good. And I remind them even sometimes and even so, some of this will be good. In other words, not all of it will be, some of it's going to be bad, and you're spot on. Like you got to kind of take that first leap of faith to say, okay, we're going to write these goals down for 12 weeks. And then we've got to move quick. You've got to move quick. You got to move often. Because you and I are sort of smiling because it's like, you're not going to get this right the first time out the gate. Like it becomes patently obvious about 3 weeks in. And I don't know if you've seen this as well, 3 or 4 weeks in, as I'm doing coaching calls every week with my teams, they start to realize like, I don't know if I wrote down the right goal. And you're like, yeah, okay. So tell me a little bit more about that. Like, what are you thinking? And this is the process. This is the process that OKRs give you, that sometimes you don't know what you need to do. I mean, that's just the reality. None of us are omniscient. If I was omniscient, I would not be working at Microsoft. I love working here, but if I was omniscient, imagine what else I could be doing. None of us know everything. None of us can predict the future. And so you really do have to move quick, move often. And I love what you're saying, these little 12-week cycles. And again, when you're writing down that first batch of goals, we cannot let perfect get in the way of good. I'm working through an implementation right now. We started with the CEO. He gave me his mission and his strategy. We've talked about that on earlier pods where you've got to have your mission. You kind of alluded to this, like you got to know generally where you're going, some sort of North Star. Let's write that down as a mission. Again, doesn't have to be perfect. The strategy are the 3 or 4 ways you achieve that mission. And then ideally, those 3 or 4 things are usually words like innovation or empowered people. Then you go, okay, I want you to write 5 KRs off of that. Give me 5 KRs for the year. That's the CEO. The CEO gets to ink annual stuff, and they're huge goals, massive goals, because they're a year long. And then you get the extended leadership team to react to those in a workshop or some shape or form and go, how are you going to impact KR1? And you've probably seen this as people are starting to realize, go, goodness, I mean, that's actually kind of hard. Like, yes, right. I need you to actually write down your goals. Let's talk a little bit about that. So they figure out their why, and then they realize, hey, we have to move quick. We have to move often, and we're not going to let perfect get in the way of good. But let's talk a little bit about the art and science of writing a good KR. What are some things people should be looking for when they start to write their first KRs? What are some rules that you like to follow? What are some things you like to see in those key results?
I'm just all about measurability, to be honest with you. I mean, that's the thing that I really look for the most is attaching, finding a metric that you feel is indicative of success for your business and for the objective that you've written, and attaching numbers to that. This is one of those elements where I mention again, like don't be afraid of failing, or especially don't be afraid of not hitting 100% of what you set out to achieve, because that's not within the sort of mantra of using OKRs in the first place. But mm-hmm. There have been so many teams that I've worked with that no matter how hard I push them in a coaching session, we end the meeting with from X to Y. I mean, it's there so often. And the reality of what happens is if they get filled in, they don't always get filled in, which is unfortunate. But if they get filled in, it's 2 to 3 weeks down the line where you've already lost 2 to 3 weeks of making, you know, relatively substantial progress on what it is that you're actually set out to achieve from a numerical standpoint. And so that's the thing that I would really encourage folks to hone in on, is don't get too hung up on whether or not the target number is the right number for your business. You'll very quickly realize that as you go along and you start tracking things. Hey, were we way off? Did we undershoot? Did we overshoot? Are we right in line with what we think we're going to be able to achieve? And then, you know, again, the cycle of doing this over and over again will fine tune you into what is the appropriate target. And the challenge is, if you don't set the target in the first place, people don't have a target to go towards. And we just have this, they told me this revenue metric was important, but we didn't even have the time to put in, you know, fill in the placeholders. So I don't know if it's all that important. That's the big one for me, is identifying the metric and then creating actual measurable start point and target points and moving after it.
I dig it. Man, some of what you just said there was absolute gold, because you're right. First of all, as we said before, you have to figure out your why. The next one is, you're moving quick, you're moving often. And we're talking in hours here. When you write your first batch of KRs, I give my teams, we measure this in hours. Like, I need you to ink this. I mean, with a CEO, if I can get on their calendar, minimum 2 hours, longest 4. Minimum 2 hours. Listen, you get paid a lot. Like, tell me, what are the 5 things that this organization needs to accomplish in the next year? And to your point, I love it. It has to be measurable. I mean, I would go so far as to say, if you're writing a KR and it's not measurable, I don't even know if it's a key result. I mean, it has to be measurable. So we're moving fast, we're moving often. And then that next piece, now, when you're writing these things, as Spencer was talking about, you got to make them measurable, and they do have to be stretchy. They have to stretch. They have to be bold and audacious. Now, stretching isn't stupid. That doesn't mean you just, you know, put down some ridiculous number that the company has never hit in its history, and it's like 8x what you did last year. I mean, if you want to do that, go for it. But you may take a morale hit, you know, a few weeks in. So you want to make it stretchy. But then I love that last point that you made, and it's so astute, is that often they say, well, we don't know if we can measure this, or we don't know how we measure this. And usually I will tell them, listen, I'm going to ask you 2 questions. If the answer is yes to both these questions, we got to do it. We have to do it, right? And so, number one, is it the right thing to do? Is it the right thing to do? This might be, well, we want to make sure our customers are satisfied. Great. How do you want to go about that? Well, we want to give them a survey. Great. Well, we don't know how to do surveys. We've never done surveys. We never have listened to customer feedback. Okay, is that the right thing to do though? Yes, great. Next question, last one, if you can answer yes to it, is, do you have the ability to move the needle? Do you actually have the ability to make your customers happier with you? I would hope so. And if that's the case, then we write it down. It's a key result. And I love what you said was, part of the journey on that key result is figuring out how to measure it. I mean, is that fair? I mean, haven't you seen that before, where people are taking that journey on that key result and they might spend the entire 12 weeks, no joke, trying to measure it? Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what I will say is that when it's been decided on that it is something that needs to be measured, you'd be surprised how quickly folks figure out how to measure it.
right.
And yeah, even if you don't have the measurement today, you know, I agree with you. You know, if you're trying to, well, just for example, like trying to grow a retail business, and you say, hey, we want to grow our sales, but we don't really have a great way of looking at that, I say, well, you kind of need to figure out how to measure your sales, you know?
I mean, yeah, unless you make really a lot of money and you don't even need to count it. Like, you could just say, hey, we make a lot, so we just don't even count it. That's a great problem to have, but not many people have that problem.
There's been a few businesses in my career that actually did that, and it amazed me every time, but, you know, they keep on running.
So once you have your KRs, let's talk rhythm of business, right? In other words, and you keep alluding to this, which is like, hey, number one, they don't even end up giving you any KRs. They do, and you're like, these aren't even written in KR language. These aren't even KRs. they sort of ignore them, or, you know, they are measurable, but they just never really get around to them. You can't just write these things and kind of sit them up on the shelf. There needs to be a rhythm of business. Let's give our folks some light scaffolding, right? Hey, they've decided they're going to do it. They have their why. They've moved quick, right? They did it in a 4-hour OKR workshop. The CEO got his done, or he or she got them done. ELT's got them done. Great. They're finished. Now what, right? Like, what's that first week? What's that second week? What are some ROB examples we've got for folks?
So the simplest one really is the beginning of a meeting. Just put them up on screen before the meeting even starts. Just put them up on screen so everybody can see them. If you've got the current status in there, that's great. You don't even need to have notes in there if you don't want to, right? Just quite literally, what is our objective? What are our key results? And just flash them up on screen. And the reason I say that that's the bare minimum easiest way to do it is because you just want to expose people to them over and over again, right? Here's what it is we're focused on for our business. And even if we're not talking about them today, I'm just here to remind you, we wrote them. They're sort of our guiding light as we move throughout the next quarter. And they're going to maintain, you know, being a part of what it is that we're focused on. So that's the bare minimum that I would recommend. Now, the reality of what the best case scenario, though, is that you're actually structuring many of your meetings around your objectives and key results. So think about it from a meeting topic perspective, right? You could have each of your agenda items be each of the key results that you're working towards, where we're not necessarily talking about how we're at 50 versus 60, for example, but we are talking about cross-functionally, what is all of the work that's going into making this key result a reality? Where are we facing challenges that need an escalation or assistance? And how is that going to help us continue to move forward? So at the end of the day, you know, you write your goals, you need to talk about them, but it's the work that goes into them that makes the product a reality. And so that's generally speaking how I advise folks to do it. Again, bare minimum, just throw them up on the screen at the beginning of the meeting. Or if you have an office environment, throw them up on a TV in the office by where you all sit. Now, that by itself is not going to do a whole lot because folks don't necessarily need to look at the TV. But again, it's just about, you know, making them more top of mind from a culture perspective, and, you know, continuing to ensure that conversations are had.
It's spot on. Out of sight, out of mind, to your point, right? Like, you and I as OKR coaches, that's, I want to say, our biggest fear, but you help an organization. You've spent hours trying to get them get their KRs done. You get them loaded into Viva Goals or whatever your OKR software is of choice, and then, you know, you come circling back around maybe about a week or two on them to see, hey, how are things going? And you're like, yeah, so how do we get into the tool? And you're like, okay, here we go. This is not going to go over well. As far as cadence. For me, I like to see weekly. I like to see weekly. I know, and I love what you said, like, hey, make it, you know, make your meetings a part of that. I love that. I wrote that one down of going, hey, if we're going to meet, why not meet on the business? And why not meet on those things that matter most, right? By definition, OKRs are what matter most now. Why don't we meet on our status? And so what I have is I have my teams get together once a week for 15 minutes. Again, you alluded to this earlier. Individual contributors do not carry OKRs. In other words, this is a team game. You don't give a single person OKRs. That's just, I mean, you could. There's not, you know, but ultimately what the literature tells us is that ideally it just doesn't scale and it just doesn't work well. So OKRs are a team function, a team game. I like to see each of my teams meeting at minimum every week for 15 minutes and what we call a 15 minute midline. Now, if you've got Viva Goals, what's really nice is you can log into Goals, you can share your screen, and ultimately you can walk down the KRs, and over on the right-hand side of the screen are these wonderful colors. They're green, they're yellow, and they're red. You can quickly see in Viva Goals, like, sort of where the status is. And what I have my teams do is I say, we skip the greens. If something is green, just skip it. Otherwise, if you start statusing on a green, I open up a browser and I'm shopping for new running shoes or some new golf clubs. Like, I'm immediately just not paying attention. And so we skip the greens, but on the yellows and reds, those are the ones that are either behind or they're red at risk. We stop there, to your point, and say, okay, let's have a cross-functional conversation. What's going on here? And what I will do is I will tell my teams, go around the horn, right? That's just a phrase to say, make sure that everyone is heard from. So if you're on a team of 10 people and you get to KR number 2 and it's yellow, literally you just start calling people by name and they start coming off of mute and you say, hey, what are you doing this week? What do you got going on this week to help sort of dent this? That's what I recommend from a weekly standpoint. And I think to your point, you've got to be meeting on them. You've got to be, they've got to be top of mind. Otherwise, they just get lost, don't they?
Yep, they absolutely do.
Okay, so we've given folks the why. Why are they doing this? We've given them, hey, you got to move quick. You got to move often. Don't let perfect get in the way of good. Ink your first KRs, write down your goals and get going. And then again, we said, make it measurable. You've got to make those KRs measurable. Otherwise, they're not KRs. And then we've talked about rhythm of business. Ideally, every week you're getting together. Last thing here is the 12 weeks is up. We've gotten to the end of the 12 weeks. What do we do now, right? Those KRs are sort of done. We've completed them. Let's talk a little bit about reflect and reset. What are your thoughts on that as they look back on the 12 weeks and then get ready for the next 12? Your thoughts there?
Yeah. So, the first thing that I would mention is that, especially if it's just your first 12 weeks, you got to commit to doing it again, right? Like I really don't think a single OKR cycle, especially one of just 12 weeks is really going to give you enough to make a well-informed decision on whether or not you should continue or stop. And so, or whether or not it's right for your business. And so that's the first thing I'd say is, hey, you finished, things didn't go necessarily as great as you wanted them to, still commit to doing it for the next round. And then from there, a element that one of my old managers liked to use was just stop, start, continue, right? So looking at the key results that you have there, what are the ones that we're going to stop doing, right? Either because we accomplished them or they're not right for our business. That can be a relatively quick conversation. Hey, we're not going to do this moving forward. Now, the next ones you can think about there, okay, what did we miss, right? What are we missing that we need to include for the next cycle? That's where you can think about start. So what do we want to start measuring that we weren't previously? And then lastly, with whatever remains, right, the elements that you didn't stop, we say, okay, we're going to continue this. And essentially all you have to do at that point is adjust what you feel like the target's going to look like moving forward. And then you've got your next set of key results there. That's just a sort of three question tactic that is not answered in 5 minutes, but is one that spurs great discussion in terms of what are we going to stop doing, either because we accomplished it or we feel like it's irrelevant. What are we going to start doing because we missed it last time or this has become relevant for our business now? And what are we going to continue doing because we either didn't achieve all of the progress that we wanted to or it remains something relevant and constant for our business? And so with those three elements, I'd really encourage you all to do that. And then additionally, retrospectives oftentimes can be dominated by a few individuals. And so it's one of those activities that I do highly recommend putting a decent chunk of effort in from a facilitation perspective. If you can get somebody from outside of your organization to help move dialogue along and make sure everybody is able to share their information, it can be a good idea. Otherwise, use tactics like having folks fill out sticky notes with their ideas before anybody shares, just find ways in terms of brainstorming so that, you get everyone's ideas heard and it's not a single voice dominating the conversation.
That is just gold. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I know a good Microsoft partner, Mural. Mural is a great app to use to be able to facilitate digital post-its. So again, if you have to facilitate this function, I love this. That's a great one to say, hey, these reflect sessions, when we look back at 12 weeks, you're absolutely right. They can be dominated and they can begin to start being painted in a certain, in a certain color or shown in a certain light. And I think being able to hear from everybody as to how it really went, primarily sometimes from the people that are in the trenches, right? Like this is not working or this is not functioning or we need to tweak it. here or there. All right, that's the end of this pod. Let's give them a little summary. So again, you need to figure out, why are you doing OKRs? It turns out that will literally be the first question that people ask you. So you better have a good answer as to why you're doing it. And again, we've said, hopefully the goal is that you're making your organization a better place to work. Everybody gets to come in and they know exactly what they're working on and that it matters. Turns out that's pretty important. You've got to move fast. You cannot let perfect get in the way of good. Start at the very tippity top if you can, and have that individual, whether it's the CEO or CVP, have that individual give you what the goal is for the organization for the next 12 months or for the year. From there, the team, the directs underneath there respond to that. And now they could respond in an annual way as well, or they could respond quarterly. That's the way to get started. Here's what we're going to do in the next 12 weeks to start impacting those annual OKRs. You've got to move fast. You got to move often, and you can't let perfect get in the way of good. Again, when you write them, they have to be measurable. Otherwise, they're really not OKRs. Don't worry if you have the ability to measure something. Just remember that if it's the right thing to do and you can move the needle on that number, you got to do it. You got to do it. And what you might find out is, hey, maybe that wasn't the right thing to measure. That's fine. But you've got to go and take that journey. Next up, you need a good rhythm of business. You can't write these OKRs and put them up on the shelf, put them on the closet and close the door. You need to be meeting on them weekly with your teams. It doesn't need to be a heavy lift. These should not be hour-long meetings. They should be quick, 15 minutes, get in and get out. And then ultimately, at the end of it, make sure everyone has a chance to be heard using post-it notes during those reflections, and then do it all over again. And that's basically it. Like we said at the very onset, like this is, like you said, not rocket science. It's basic. I will say, though, once you start this journey, the behavior, the human behavior that you'll see in your organization, I wrote an article on the blog. If you go and go to the littleokrnewsletter.com, talking about the fact that OKRs will always find the dark alleys of your organization. That sounds like it's solving crime, but it will. It'll find misalignment, miscommunication, disagreements. It will find them out. And as Spencer was saying earlier, where people are not aligned, where they don't agree, you're going to find those information out. So Spencer, thank you so much for joining me. If people want to find you on the socials, how do they do that? Do you have any exploits, anything people should be looking for?
Nothing too exciting. If you want to talk OKRs, feel free to find me on LinkedIn. And I'm looking forward to the next time we chat.
I dig it. Thanks so much, everybody, for spending a little bit of time with us. You can spend it however you want. And it's not lost on Spencer and I that you spent a little bit of with us. So thank you. If you want more of this, the littleokrnewsletter.com, that's where you can find the pod and you can find the newsletter as well. We will talk to you again next time. Thanks, everybody.